Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State yesterday unveiled their plans for the renovation of the west side of the stadium, the old side of the stadium. Jonathan Smith, Oregon State football coach, joining us now. How tuned in are you to that facility stuff?
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I'm obviously pretty focused on the day-to-day right now. And shoot, I always talk about it in recruiting. I got some great memories of this old side, you know?
Yeah.
But so not that dialed in.
I heard there was going to be a new press box. I said that's all that matters. Get that press box done. It strikes me too that, you know, like when you're focused on your day to day, it'd be really easy to lose track of what's going on in the world. Like, you know, Democratic debates on TV last night, or you know what movies are out. Do you find yourself sometimes late to the party on world events and news?
Oh, big time. Like I saw some headline. I don't know. Maybe it was LeBron and saying something to China and the NBA. And then I did catch I read the New York Times a little bit. And so I read up on the debate this morning, but of course I wasn't able to sit there and listen to it.
You get Cal this week. When you look on film, I see a really good defensive team. The 98 is a hell of a player. What do you see?
Yeah, they are good on defense. Evan Weaver, you're talking about linebackers. He's like the country and tackles, been doing it for a while. They run a good scheme, and they got some length up front. And I think the things, maybe not talked about enough, is their secondary. I think they've given up 3 touchdown passes all year. Gerald Alexander, I know him well. He's the DB coach. He was up at UW with me and does an awesome job. Those guys are playing really well.
When you get familiarity with some coaches, as you've been around, and you see Wilcox on there, the defensive coach there that is the head coach, and you mentioned the secondary coach. Can you get tendencies from them because you know how they teach, or is it more about personnel?
It's a lot about personnel. I mean, you kind of know their schemes, being able to play against them through the years, but I think everyone's always changing, evolving, doing things a little bit differently each year, and so there's some tendency piece, but oftentimes it comes down to the personnel out there.
The Utah game, I know you guys were disappointed, and to me, I walked around the field before the game, and I saw that size, their physicality. Their 300-pound guys were 6'6", 6'7". That was a big physical football team that gave you a test to see where you are right now.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it's a good football team that does make it physical. They got some some size, but they got some athleticism. We got exposed with some of our lack of detail fundamentals. If our feet weren't apart at O-line, you know, we were getting pushed around a little bit and couldn't change direction. I think on the flip side, tackling these guys, it was very disappointing. But it's opportunity now to respond. I mean, what are you going to do? The game's over. Go to the next opponent and focus on that. I do appreciate our guys, our effort the last couple of days in practice. I think we moved around pretty well.
Can you tell when you get, like, on a Monday or Tuesday, and you can you tell where your team is mentally?
Yeah, I think you get a good idea. I will say, you know, these guys are still going through college, and you want them to be locked in coming Saturday. But I felt good about our preparation with these guys each week. You got a good idea of the opponent you're playing and the matchup and some of the problems that can come with that matchup, and knew we were going to have to be able to match some physicality with Utah, and we were not able to do it.
Can you make up that gap quickly? Is it as simple as, I know you can't talk specifics on recruits, but I did see, some guys that could help you that were at the game. Is that something where you can sell to guys that are, maybe leaning towards coming to Oregon State? You can say, hey, you could help us right now with the physicality?
Yeah, you're always selling all the good things about the place, and one of them is opportunity, because whoever's on the roster is going to get opportunity to compete for playing time, to start, and things of that nature. And so within recruiting, you're selling opportunity, and that's part of it.
Jonathan Smith is with us, Oregon State coach. This game with Cal, and I think there are some games left on the schedule where I feel this way, that I think it's a really interesting matchup because they are very defensive-minded. They've been limited on offense because of their injury at quarterback mostly. You guys have a heck of an offense. I think it's very fun to watch. Is this the kind of game where you go, okay, I mean, like, we're in this one. We got a shot here. If we play well, this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I feel like that really going into every game, knowing that, you know, previously one side of the ball is really good or vice versa, those type of things. I think sometimes the talk might be like us on offense against them on defense, yeah. But there's always the two-thirds that also got to play. And, you know, we got to do some things on special teams to get some field position because it's going to be hard against a good defense like this. Flip side of that, yeah, they've had some, you know, injury issues, not just at quarterback, O-line, but now they're coming off a bye, and so we're going to get a real challenge out of this offense, and we got to step up defensively, create some turnovers, and so playing a complete game is always what happens to win games.
How do you scout them when, you know, they have Chase Garbers at quarterback to start the year, and now they don't?
Yeah, you know, you got enough tape with Monster in there the last really game and a half of what he likes to do. They're not totally changing the offense. I do think he's got some good athleticism to him. He's made some really good throws. Even watching that Duck game, they controlled the thing going for about three quarters. They got the lead and then slowly just didn't have enough offensively to get over the hump. But he made some good throws. They had, you know, unfortunate kind of tipped up in the air interception late. But he can really do some things.
Yeah, they do. On the defensive side of the ball, I could tell even with a couple of the penalties they had, they're trying to strip the ball. They're trying to take the ball from you. They're hitting you when you're on the boundary because they try to be aggressive on defense. And then defensively, they try to put their offense in good field position. And so they only have to drive 40 or 50 yards, not 80 yards.
Yep. The game is oftentimes so much about field position with momentum and then obviously executing in the red zone, which these guys defensively have just been lights out. And so, you know, we're going to try to play our style of game where obviously we're going to try to put some points and move the ball, but also try to create some turnovers on defense. If we can do that, steal a couple possessions, obviously it would be huge for us.
All right, let's say you're at a comedy show or you're on Wheel of Fortune and they ask you, so what do? And they point at you in the crowd. What's your answer to that?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a coach. I start always with a coach, not exactly specific.
You don't say, I'm the coach at Oregon State?
No. Well, yeah. And football coach, this, that, and the other, because I do feel like I'm a coach / teacher.
Right.
Like that's what I really get an opportunity to teach and develop and scheme and coach.
See, I wouldn't want to be singled out, so I'd do the same thing if I were you. I would be like, I'm a coach, and then I would wait for the follow-up. What do you coach? Football. All right.
Yeah.
What do you mean football? College? And then, because you wouldn't want to give them everything, right?
No doubt. Well, I get that. Even, you know, I'll be out and about, maybe, say, let's within the state, and someone asks, doesn't recognize me, they'll ask me what I do. Oh, I work at Oregon State. Oh, what do you do? I work within the athletic department. You know, they're going to take about four or five questions to tell them I'm the head football coach.
Wait, what is that? Is that humility, or is it just open so many doors when you say I'm the coach? The football
coach. Kind of humility, I think, / it does open some doors, and depending on the amount of time I got and the situation itself, but I'm just not real quick to just be jumping up and down telling the head football coach.
I'm the same way. I'm on an airplane because I don't want to get in like a three-hour discussion about sports and field questions, and I would think for you, like, that's a quiet time for you. Like, you don't want a long discussion.
It can be. Again, I enjoy talking to a bunch of Beaver fans out there. I get that a lot, and I do love talking about what's going on here and what we got going. But there's moments where, you want to have your own kind of quiet time, go under the radar a little bit, which I get to do a bunch. I mean, people treat me great really anytime I'm in this state.
Mike Riley used to ride his bike to practice. Are you close enough to ride a bike to practice?
So we've talked about this. I am close enough to do that, but it would be going uphill on the way home. And I'm not in quite shape to get that done at 10, 11 at night.
You need a moped.
Yeah, I thought of that. that. My wife won't let me give me that. She's danger and motorcycle.
Yeah. You're worth too much. You can't be on a moped. Sorry, man. You got to be in a car. Give us an idea of, like, the hours. Like, you know, what time you go to bed? What time you get up? How much sleep do you get?
Yeah. You know, starting on a Sunday, it kind of depends on the Saturday game, kickoff, if we travel back, things of that nature. We're in here around 11 on Sunday, and we'll get out of here probably about 9. And then Monday and Tuesday are usually later days. Like, you'll get started, get heavy game planning Monday, get her closer to 10, sometimes 11. It's about the same on Tuesday. Depending on how quick decisions are made on the game plan on Tuesday, it could go, like I say, about 10 or 11. Wednesday tapers down. Get home at a decent hour, I'd say about 8. And then Thursday, we wrap up around here about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Try to get some time with the family on Thursday.
I've heard coaches, like some coaches will say, you know, I come in at 5 o'clock in the morning and I leave at 3 a.m. and I'm sleeping in the office. And I think sometimes they tell you that because they want you to think they're working really hard. Is there a point where it's counterproductive to just be going over and over stuff? You need rest?
I think so. Yeah, I do think so. I've never been with a guy wanting to sleep in the office. I've done some long hours, different staffs or whatnot, but I do feel like there's just a moment where, okay, you've thoroughly looked at it, let's make a decision and go. The longer this drags out, the more bad ideas come up. We encourage our guys to kind of work out at lunchtime, get fresh air and moving around, which our guys do. I'm not a big guy. I'm into just long, long hours. I'm into efficiently using your time.
I had an NFL player told me one time, he was with a team where the coach would leave before the players, and he said, that's not good. He said, I don't need the guy there at 3 a.m., but he was leaving before we were out of the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it works for different people different ways, but I do think the most important time is your time around the player.
Yeah.
And you got to put in some preparation for that time. At the same time, though, all of us know, I mean, we're always sharper. We get some rest, get some sleep. We're telling our players to get some sleep. Crap, we got to be doing the same thing.
All right, before I cut you loose, I've been watching coin tosses again, and I hate to bring this back up, but if you win the coin toss at Cal, do you automatically defer, or do you take the ball and put your offense out there?
Right. You know, it doesn't seem like we've won the toss for the last couple weeks.
No.
We usually kind of decide this Thursday, Friday. I think it's trending to where we take the ball. So that's where I'm sitting at right now.
Why do so many people defer?
Well, I think I always liked it on offense because you can play a half, kind of find out what they're doing, make some adjustments, and you're getting the extra possession in the second half. That's why I've always preferred it. Analytics will tell you it's the same thing, whether you're taking it first or in the second.
Yeah, but you've seen them for a half. I mean, that's smart. I think you've had a half to see what they are, and now you have an adjustment, and we're going to come out and we're going to get 7. You guys have been very good in that situation this year.
You know, and I do think, you know, adjustments count. But then the flip side of it, you take the ball to start the game, your defense now has the added opportunity to make some adjustments. So it's 50-50, but I'm trending toward taking the ball.
Jonathan Smith, wish you the best. Thank you. Good luck Saturday.
Yep, thanks.
All right, there he is, Oregon State head football coach. You sit by him, you run into a grocery store, and you say, what do? He's going to say, I work in the athletic department at Oregon State. Oh, what do you do there? Oh, I work with kids. Oh, really? What kind of work do you do? Oh, I'm a coach. Oh, really? Oh, I'm the head football coach. I'm sure he gets it more than maybe Mario Cristobal, just because I think from a visibility standpoint at this point, I think if you did recognition of who are these two people, if they're not geared up, you're going to get more people, I think, that would recognize Cristobal at this point. And Smith's time will come. But I got to tell you, like, sometimes I do the same thing. If I'm on a plane, I'm sitting next to somebody, I realize it's a sports fan, I won't say a lot. And I like having those conversations, but I'm not going to... I don't want to do a three-hour radio show for one person on a flight, you know? There's sometimes I just want to be on a flight. I can't imagine if you were like Mario Cristobal how many times in the course of his day, but of course that comes with the job, right? I guess that's, we're complaining about things that he probably is. There's some good things about his job and some bad things about his job. But I look, we're going to have Mario Cristobal on later. I'm going to ask him about his sleep habits. Find out what if he knows what's going on in the world during the college football season. Because I venture to say those two guys are more similar than they let on. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Stuff from Jonathan Smith, Oregon State's coach. If you missed that, grab a podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get a podcast. You can get a podcast of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. This brings us to our big splash. We do it every day.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Well, it'll be Ryan Tannehill in Nashville. The Titans last night named Tannehill the official starter for this week's game, which means Marcus Mariota will be out. Well, at least he's not starting. Or maybe you just think he's being set free. The Titans are going with Tannehill over Mariota on Sunday against the Chargers. That'll be a favorable defense to play against. Chargers have not been great this season. But look, I don't think Tannehill is going to be any better than Marcus Mariota was. In fact, I think he'll struggle more. Mariota and Tannehill sacked a combined 29 times this year in Titans games. The Titans organization, who have been through three head coaches and five play callers in 5 years, currently have a play caller on offense who has never called plays before in the NFL. I want to blame the quarterback. Look, I'm no homer. You guys know that. But I look at Marcus Mariota, and I look at his NFL trajectory, some of the good things he's done, the fact that he doesn't throw interceptions, the fact that he doesn't put his team in bad positions, and I look at the lack of talent the Titans have assembled around him, and I just shake my head. Maybe this is a blessing. Like, if I'm Marcus Mariota's family, his mother, Alana, I might be sitting back today going, you know what? At least he's not going to get hurt for the rest of the season. And he gets to dictate the next step of his career. That's right. I think Marcus Mariota will end up somewhere else next season. Not Nashville. No way, no how. And that's the one thing you need to know today. Ryan Tannehill, will he do better? I kind of think this is a good week. Like last week, they played the Denver Broncos, who sacked the Titans quarterbacks a combined 7 times. By the way, Tannehill came into the game in relief of Mariota, got sacked 4 times. That's not Tannehill's fault. The fact that Mariota looks so uncomfortable, the fact that he's getting sacked at a rate that is almost record rate, that's not his fault either. You're not comfortable in an offense, you're not going to have confidence. Confidence is comfort. Comfort is confidence. And the bottom line is Marcus Mariota, we can all see it, hasn't played well, doesn't look comfortable, doesn't look confident. You can't dismiss what has happened around him. As much as the apologists for the Titans franchise want to make this about, oh, it's just another Heisman guy who can't play, can't complete a screen pass, blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, if you want to make it about that, fine, but let's watch Ryan Tannehill run for his life over the next 6 or 8 weeks. It's the one thing that you need to know. I am a little disappointed that it didn't go better for him. But I'm not... See, some people say Marcus Mariota matters in this market because he played for the Oregon Ducks. Some people say he matters because he was a really nice guy who played for the Oregon Ducks. I just think I'm always looking for people to get a fair shake. Like I'm one of these people that it really annoys me when people cut in line. It really annoys me when people are rude. Like I don't know, like I talked last week about that condition that people have that if you're chewing or you're crinkling a bag or you're eating an apple that there's a condition that can drive people crazy. It makes people angry. It's a condition. My condition that I know I have is when I see people who are rude, and it happens all the time. The person walking in front of me doesn't hold the door for the other person. I mumble to myself, rude. I just mumble it. And I also did this the other day. A woman was walking in front of me and going into a Starbucks. Okay? I'm like perfect distance stride-wise behind her for her to simply delay and kind of hold the door for me. But she went right in without even looking at me, and the door closed right on me. And I said to myself out loud, a dude could not get away with that. If I did that to her, I would be rude. Is that a rude move by her? Or because that's a woman and I'm a man, that's socially acceptable?
I don't think it has anything to do with gender or sex. I think it has to do with your decency, your human decency.
Agreed. Indecent, that woman. What do you do when someone's rude like that? Does that happen to you? Because I got to think, when you walk around the world as Alabama Adriana, 5'9", blonde, smiling all the time, just glowing, that doors get held for you.
That actually happened to me this morning on my way to class. The girl in front of me just let it go. Like, we all got off the elevator together. We all walked through the exit at the same time. She knows there's people behind her.
Yep.
But she just lets it fall. And I'm just like, ugh. It's so annoying.
What you do is right behind them, you kick it with your foot really hard. You stop the door like, and then when they turn around, they think you got popped, and you just go, oh, man, I guess you just didn't see me.
Yeah.
And they'll get the message.
But what if they're wearing headphones, though?
That's even worse. Mm-hmm. I think that it has to do with a lack of awareness. Like, it's all about you. It's all about, the lady in front of me, I knew it was going to happen, too, because I could see how busy she looked.
It's a purposeful lack of awareness, though. Yeah. It's not just like I have so much going on. It's like I'm choosing not to see you.
That bothers me. Rudeness bothers me. And so what I think is going on in Tennessee bothers me because Marcus Mariota is drafted. He goes to work for the Titans. The head coach who drafts him is fired 6 games into his rookie year. The GM who drafts him is fired at the end of his rookie year. The owner, who was the controlling owner, transfers ownership to someone else. He had to look around at some point and go, hold on. Anybody here that I know, anybody here that wanted me or knows me, but they're stuck with him because they drafted him. So they hire a new coach who doesn't, you know, Mike Mularkey, who doesn't make it. Now they've gone to Mike Vrabel, who's a disaster. I can tell you he's a disaster because I've watched his news conferences. He's a disaster because he doesn't know how to lead. He might have been a great follower as a Patriots linebacker. He's not a leader. A leader doesn't go, when they ask you, hey, how come Marcus Mariota hasn't flourished? A leader doesn't go, well, I guess I'm a bad coach. That was a pouty, cheap answer. And so I do root for people that have been dissed to have success. So I will root for Marcus Mariota to end up with another team, maybe the Colts in their own division, and just stick it to them. Be a lot of fun to watch that. It'd be like somebody who didn't hold the door for you. Say, Mike Vrabel, you should have held the door for Marcus.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Baltimore.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.